It is the 19th day of June. On the phone line with us to take a look at what happened in Chicago is Jackie Vakes. She's at Stuart Peterson right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Jackie.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Well, the numbers changed, not a lot, but they begin to move much higher, I suppose, after Informa brought its numbers out today. And why don't you go through those numbers, tell me what you think of them and what they're lacking still.
What they're lacking still, okay. Well, they did drop, you know, all of their numbers. Everything went down from their old numbers. They went to 95.26 on corn from 96.8. USDA remains at 97.3 until next week's report when we get an update. Beans, 77.75 from 78.2. Corn, we lost a little over 1.5 million acres. Beans down about 430,000 acres from last time. Just a note, 77.7 is still 600,000 more acres than what the USDA currently has us on beans. And spring wheat at 11.7 versus 12.4, down about 600,000, a little over 600,000. You know, and it's always interesting when Informa puts out their numbers because, okay, it tells us acreage, but it certainly doesn't give us any guidance when it comes to expectations for yield and production, and that is still where everything comes from. You know, we know that for a fact. We can drop off 3 million acres, and if we produce 158 bushel to the acre right now, we still have a 1.5 billion bushel carryout. I mean, you know, so these are interesting numbers. These are guiding numbers. I think the bigger story today, Todd, in the market, we did put in a new high close on December 13 corn, the highest we've been. I just looked back here, and let me recap since February. And I think a lot of that came out of the fact that we saw money flow coming out of the equities and into the commodities, primarily because Mr. Bernanke, when he announced that they were going to continue with their bond buying now, also said that instead of 6.5% unemployment, they're going to look at 7% unemployment being pretty good, and that they would probably start to reduce or taper off as we get into a little bit into the year later. And so it really makes it tough because we get a double whammy. It's really nice to see markets up 20 cents, 19 cents. Farmers get excited about that, but unfortunately our dollar is also higher today, and that has an impact on exports. And, you know, when you look at the fact that the USDA had raised exports for corn for next year by 600 million bushels. If we go higher, are we going to be able to meet that? And I think the thing that a lot of producers maybe are not focusing on, it's easy when you look at the fields today, Todd, to focus on in some areas how poor the crop looks, in other areas how we haven't got it planted, in other areas where we're replanting and all of us on the fact that we're behind. But the reality when it comes to the corn market is that we still, as of this last week's report, had an addition of 1.65 billion bushels of increased demand just to keep us at the 1.849. And so it makes us very vulnerable. Even if the crop drops in size and we go up in price, does that mean that we lose some of that additional demand and we still end up with such a high carryout? We don't know.
Now, on the demand front, and I know this is not the case for corn, but it is an indicator, and certainly it would be the case for soybeans. One of the largest end users in the world is China, but their economy, while good by comparison to every place else, is struggling just a bit.
It is, and that was one of the things that we saw come out this morning. It didn't seem to have any big impact in the market today, but I anticipate down the road it will be. HSBC came and said that they're going to drop their numbers for the expectation for 2014-2015 in China from a growth potential of 8.2% and 8.4% down to 7.4% for each of those years. That is a significant drop. Reality tells us they can't maintain the level that they were going at without overheating their economy to a point that they can't handle it anymore. But at the same time, the people who look at the big picture have to be concerned about this, and that's all of us, because they are a key to what goes on in the United States.
And speaking of keys to what's happening in the United States, and this one would be a key to, again, corn just a bit, related to ethanol and its sugar production across the planet, prices are really low.
They have. We've known for a long time that if we saw sugar prices break the $20 level, and more seriously get down into the $18, that we were going to start to see an increase again in sugar ethanol production, especially in Brazil. And, you know, if you remember back, not this past year, but the year before, they imported 1.4 billion gallons of ethanol from us. This year, it looks as if it's probably going to be somewhere, it might be around that 700 to 800 million. And if they start again to produce more sugar ethanol, that is going to be less exports for us, and it will have an impact on the value of ethanol itself. So there are a lot of things out there that say to me that producers have to be very, very cautious right now. You know, I'm not going to say to you, Todd, that I don't believe that we could see this market go higher if the weather churns and it gets hot and it gets dry. And I think we'll get scares like that, and that was a part of what was going on here today, too. But, boy, you just can't bet the farm on this.
And a couple of things to take up in the livestock world. Cattle prices have been just marching lower and marching lower.
Well, they have. You know, today they had a nice bounce back, but again, you know, when you look at the bigger picture, there have been strange things going on in that marketplace. We've seen the choice select numbers basically be extremely high, meaning that there were a lot more choice cattle, and so in the cash market, they were paying very high prices, and they were coming in and selling this particular market. Now we've got cattle on feed report coming out on Friday. They're showing on feed 96.5%, placed 95.9%, and marketed 97.9%. We really never like to see a marketing number below 100%, but the on feed number says to me that there maybe are some places that have gotten a little bit of relief on their pasture, and now we might not be placing quite as many animals, but it's a tough one for the cattle market. You know, it's just a situation where you know, everybody believes, and we all know, we have tighter cattle numbers. There's no question about that. At the very same time, we also know that there's consumer resistance to paying much, much higher prices. And I think the question at the retail side, Todd, is how much more can the retailer push off onto chicken and pork to prop up beef because they want to keep a rather steady flow of all their meats? And so I think that's got to be resolved, and we'll find that out as we move probably into the fall season more than the summer season.
Speaking of retailers, one of the integrated retailers and producers in China is in the process of wanting to purchase Smithfield. But there are companies here in the United States that are saying, well, wait a second, we don't think it's valued quite correctly.
No, that's the truth. Wall Street Journal had a great story on that yesterday, and they were talking about how the largest investor, Smithfield, has gone back and said if you pull the three components out and value them separately, it would probably make shareholders about another $7 a share. And, you know, Continental Grain had been a part of that. They had pulled out all of their shares when this whole thing came up. And so, you know, I guess after reading this story, maybe it's not as done a deal with Shuang Wei as what we perhaps thought it was. And I guess in the back of my mind, I was questioning whether that was going to truly fly. But we'll see what happens. You know, the Smithfield has been very resistant to breaking up the company, so I'm not certain they'll follow through now and do it either.
And one final thing, Farm Bill is hot on the debate in Washington, D.C. this week.
Boy, it certainly is. That H.R. 1947 acronym is everywhere. and, you know, they're talking about increasing the deductible for crop insurance from 11% to 15%. Now, that really doesn't impact us in the corn or in the grain area as much as it does, let's say, in all the other areas, cotton, sugar and the other things that they do. But there is certainly a tremendous amount of debate going on, and I don't think that when you look at the difference between the Senate bill and the House bill, in some respects they're miles apart. In other respects, they have things in common, and so we'll see once. I think it would be very embarrassing if we end up not having it go through, and if Boehner cannot get enough people to vote for it again. And let's just hope we finally get it taken care of.
Thanks so much, Jackie.
Thank you, Todd.
Jackie Vakes is with Stuart Peterson. She's from right here in Champaign County, joins us on the Closing Market Report for this Wednesday afternoon.